Hello, welcome to 89.5 CIUT-FM, Animal Voices, on the web at www.animalvoices.ca. We're doing something a little bit different today. My name is Carl Ozhahovsky, and Lauren is away today. Today we're going to be listening to a show that was pre-recorded on December 11th, 2006, with CAPS, the Korean Animal Protection Society, with a woman named Yoon Kerr. It's a really interesting interview, so stay tuned for that. But before that, I just have a few announcements. So the first announcement is about an organization. Actually, it's an offshoot of the Toronto Vegetarian Association, the Youth Committee. They have come up with something called VDOT, Toronto's Vegetarian Youth, and it's a monthly educational and social events for teenagers who want to learn more about vegetarianism. From poetry workshops to discussions on activism and everything in between. For more info, you can contact youth@veg.ca or you can phone 416-544-9800. The second announcement is a call for papers for the Thinking About Animals Domination Captivity Liberation Conference at Brock University, which is taking place March 15th to 16th. To celebrate the creation of a new concentration and minor in critical animal studies, and as part of our commitment to engage scholarship directed towards social justice, the Department of Sociology at Brock University is organizing a conference on the theme of domination, captivity, and liberation to be held at Brock campus on March 15th to 16th, 2007. We're pleased to co-sponsor this event with Niagara Action for Animals, a local nonprofit, all-volunteer charity devoted to ending all forms of animal cruelty through education, direct action, and legitimate protest. This is from the press release from Brock University. This conference is intended as an opportunity to discuss recent developments in the animal movements, and the conference is open to all, and they invite participation from academics and activists. I think the deadline for abstracts is it says it was January 15th, 2007, but I think if you really get your butt in gear, that it might still be possible to get in there. Those who register in advance for the conference, even if you're not submitting an abstract, you should, if you are in the St. Catharines, Ontario area, you should think about checking it out. Those who register in advance will have the option of purchasing vegan meals. Proposals for papers and panels are invited, and activist groups may request a table for display of their material. Participants will discuss a wide variety of issues, and they can waive the registration fee for low-income people and students. The third announcement, which is a very special announcement from the Animal Voices crew, is that we now have a MySpace page. We've joined the 21st and a half century. So you can come and check us out on the MySpace at www.myspace.com.
Come be our friend.
/ Animal Voices. That was Lamia overseeing me trying to tech the show.
And doing a damn fine job, I must say.
Thank you. So yeah, come and check us out, www.myspace.com/animalvoices. Be our friend. You can listen to the last two shows that you can also listen to on our website anyway. But it's a great chance to network with all sorts of other animal advocacy organizations that are also our friends already. So without further ado, I am going to cue up the interview with Yoon Kerr from CAPS, the Korean Animal Protection Society.
Hello and welcome to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM. I am your host, Lauren Corman. Today I'm pleased to be speaking with the UK Director of the International Aid for Korean Animals in the UK. We are speaking with Yoon Kerr. Welcome to the program, Yoon.
Thank you so much for inviting us and giving us an opportunity to represent Korean animals.
So tell us a little bit about who the International Aid for Korean Animals is.
Right. The International Aid for Korean Animals is a sister organization of Korean Animal Protection Society. CAPS is a registered charity in Korea, and It was registered in 1992 by Son Nan Geum, who started the first animal sanctuary in Korea. And it was set up with a view to the improving the lives of animals through education and offering the rescue and shelter service to needy animals in Korea. And the IAKA has been set up to promote the work of CAPS and also to raise awareness on the suffering of Korean animals.
So CAPS is the Korean Animal Protection Society, and of course it's located primarily in Korea, but then there's an international effort to support the work that's been going on in Korea as well.
Yes, that's correct.
So CAPS has been concentrating mostly on the cat and dog meat trade. Can you tell us more about what that issue is and why it's been such a major concern for CAPS?
Yeah, the reason CAPS is primarily concerned with ending the dog and cat meat trade is because CAPS believe that the widespread animal abuse in Korea is primarily due to the ongoing inhumane trade that is the dog and cat meat trade. In Korea, CAPS receive many phone calls each and every day, and it's not all about the people found a stray dog or a cat. It's the open the plight of animals is really heartbreaking, and it happens everywhere in the pet shops, in the zoos, and in ordinary households. There are so many really sad reports, and we believe that this primarily stems from the fact that Koreans are allowed to slaughter animals that give affection to humans in very unmistakable manner. People believe that because it's a different country, Korea must have a different culture, and the dogs and cats are treated as cattle rather than companion animals, which is really not the case. In Korea, there has been a long tradition of reciprocity and friendship, and the Koreans put really high value on these social values. They emphasize the importance of these values, and they give much more importance to these values than Westerners. And because of that, people always had this negative feeling about killing and eating dogs and cats. However, Korea used to have annual starvation, and people sometimes really couldn't find anything to eat. So although it came from China originally, people accepted that practice from time to time, especially there was widespread starvation. But, it was not really accepted practice among Koreans, and there was always negative feeling towards it, and it was treated as something unacceptable, something that should not be talked about. And then in recent when the Korean War finished, and then Korea became an affluent country in 1970-1980s. When Korea became an affluent country, the dog meat traders spread lies about dog meat having this magic effect on male sexual performance, and it's kind of all-curing drugs. So if you are not feeling well, then eat dog meat. Then you should feel you should be recovered. If you have an operation, then eat it. if your, you know, if your skin is not really soft, then eating dung meat can improve your skin condition. And then in order to support these lice, they tend to put hormones in dog meat. And because of that, people started to believe these lies. And then that's why, dog meat has not, instead of dog meat vanishing from Korea, currently we estimate over 2 million of dogs and hundreds of thousands of cats are slaughtered each year. However, even now, dog and cat meat is still a minority practice, even though a lot of people actually believe these claims. The killing process can be often horrendous. The reason for that is because these traders deliberately push through these animals incredible pain. It's because they believe that the medical qualities these animals have will increase if these animals are put through torture, delivery torture.
Mm.
And because of that, the suffering these animals have during the process of being slaughtered can be enormous. And there are all kinds of reports saying that, you know, some people pour petrol over dog and then just set fire. Or, you know, they hang the dog on the tree and beat the dog to death. Or, you know, put a live cat into boiling water. And, you know, some people think that it must be Korea's culture to eat dogs and cats. So why don't we just say that, okay, eating dogs and cats is just fine. So just ban the cruel side. But the problem is that the consumers actually demand it. The reason that they are eaten in the same in the first place is that because the people believe that, you know, these meat are good for their own health, and the reason they put them through delivery torture is exactly the same reason. And because of this, we believe that even if you put enormous fine on killing these dogs and these animals in cruel manner, I don't think it will solve a problem, because then what will happen is that they will be killed in inside a slaughterhouse where nobody will watch, nobody will have any access to. And then consumers will keep demanding this cruel practice. The other problem is that dogs and cats are carnivores, and therefore, if they are raised in a small confined space, they can fight to death. And we find a lot of badly wounded dogs in dog farms, because, you know, they have to share the same space with other animals, and it is incredibly stressful environment, and they fight, they really fight, and you see a dog without a ear sometimes, or you know, a dog who is limping, and also in order to avoid these problems, some traders will confine them in separate space and never allow them really to interact with each other. That will be a really cruel thing to do, because although dogs are carnivores, they are also social animals. They need companions. So it is not possible. We do not believe that you can raise dogs for food in a humane way.
Right. Yun, I just want to stop you for a second. Thanks again for being on the program Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5. I'm your host, Lauren Corman. I wanted to ask you about what it means for people outside of Korea to participate in some of these protests and criticizing what the government has done, as you said, you know, putting forward these lies. I think that sometimes people in the West are reluctant to speak out against this because it will be perceived as being racist. and also because it has been in the international community, this issue has been seen as one that's related to poverty, which, you know, is something that you, of course, are discounting and saying that this was an industry that really took off after the 1980s. But how do we do this type of activism outside of Korea without kind of feeding into racist stereotypes about Korean people and the treatment of animals there?
Yeah, the most important thing is to remember that Koreans themselves regard this practice as something to be rid of. All the animal groups in Korea, small or large, all of them actively oppose the dog and cat meat trade. The important thing is that because the Korean government so far has sided with the dog meat traders, and they would really very, very little to improve the situation. The important thing is that, you know, the people in the international community should really give support to Koreans inside Korea who are opposing the trade. So there are times when the Korean government may try to legalize dog and cat meat, and if Koreans ask help to the international community, saying that please can you protest to the Korean government that dog and cat meat should never be legalized, then Korean government will pay attention, because they don't want to give any more negative image. However, we believe that the real change will come when Koreans themselves are seen to oppose the dog and cat meat trade in huge majority. And that's what we are really aiming for, because if the international community protests dog and cat meat trade, then the Korean government will do something like making a law. But in order for the government to impose the law, it is really, really important that Koreans themselves care about it very much and pressurize the Korean government to impose these laws. So I think it is kind of a two-way process.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that what is important is to respect the work of people inside Korea, because they really care for animals and they know what they are doing.
Right.
Yeah. And I believe that when they are, protesting against the trade, and if they ask help from the international community, I think the international community should support them, because they are doing really hard work, incredibly hard work inside Korea. It is a country where there wasn't much tradition of giving to charities. So the people who are opposing the trade inside Korea have very little resources, and they have to spend it very, very wisely, but they are doing all they can in order to fight the trade and to improve the lives of Korean animals in general.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing about these groups too, is that they're putting forward a different version of what counts as traditional culture in Korea. You know, they're saying that traditionally the culture is about being kind to animals and
yeah.
being friendly to animals and developing a more... And the traditions say that, you know, they should have a humane relationship with animals. And this is a different version, of course, than what the South Korean government's putting forward.
Yeah, it is. Because I think the Korean government made a mistake in thinking that, you know, if they keep telling outsiders, saying, oh, it's the Korea's culture, so therefore you shouldn't really intervene, they think the problem will go away. And unfortunately, it won't go away, because even when people refrain from criticizing the Korean government, thinking, oh, we might be looked as racist, or not really understanding the Korean culture, the the feeling, the negative feeling against the trade will always remain. It won't go away. It is because you see animals, dogs and cats are animals who are very, very close to human beings. And even if, you know, somebody says, oh, if, you know, I think if you eat, say, cows or pigs, then you should be allowed to eat dogs. You can say that rationally. But emotionally, you can't accept this. So if Korean government really think about their image, they shouldn't have really made this positive excuse. And also, this excuse is so different from the true culture of Korea. Because in Korea, we had, as you said, we had a long tradition of compassion. And, you know, people, decent people always believed that if we are kind to animals, then if you can be also kind to people. And the society where kindness to animals is practiced is a better society. And so I think the important thing is that the Korean government should really change the strategy and try to improve their image, Korea's image, by doing something and working with Koreans who care for animals.
And the government at this point wants to legalize the dog meat trade because they say they're going to make it more hygienic and better for the animals and the environment and cleaner for people.
Yeah, that has been the major problem. It's because the international community didn't really know what was going on inside Korea. And, you know, because instead of listening to the Korean groups and Koreans who are working for the Korean animals, they were listening to the Korean government, who don't really care about animals at all. And because of that, they didn't really understand the situation, and they sent letters to the Korean government, asking the Korean government that, you know, to do something about the cruelty side. But they said, you know, it's okay to go on, just keep eating dogs and cats, so we don't really care. But all we ask is to banish the cruelty side. And that's what, you know, gave the idea to the Korean government that if they just legalize dog meat and then, you know, pretend to do something about the cruelty side, then the problem will just go away. So what I'm asking to the international community is that please listen to what Koreans are actually saying, what the animal caring Koreans are actually saying, and you know, work with them rather and listen to them. I think that's really, really important. The hygienic control of dog meat has been frustrated because there are many, many Koreans who care for animals and just would not accept it. So the Korean government has been receiving a lot of protests inside Korea, as well as protests from international animal lovers. So at the moment, they're still hesitating. I don't think they will go ahead with it. But if the international community keep contradicting the wishes of Koreans who work for animals inside Korea, then, you know, it could happen. It could happen, and it will be a disaster for the Korean animals.
I should let people know who are just tuning in that you are listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5. We're speaking with Yoon Kerr, who is the director of the International Aid for Korean Animals in the UK, and we're speaking with her about specifically the cat and dog meat trades in Korea. I wanted to talk about what CAPS, which is the Korean Animal Protection Society, what they've been doing to help animals. I know that they're the first animal sanctuary, and part of what they've been doing has been rescuing animals from the markets in Korea. Can you tell us more about what those markets are like and the kind of sanctuary that CAPS is currently running?
Yeah. The Korean markets are like they can open sell live animals. It could be dogs or it could be cats. It could be rabbits, chickens. And what they have been doing is that, you know, they lock these animals in a really crowded cage. The animals are dehydrated, they could hardly move. And then the customers come along and, you know, tell the trader, saying, oh, I want that one. And then the trader will kill the animal, drag the animal out from the cage and kill the animal in front of all the other animals for the customer. The way the animals are kept are absolutely appalling. The animals have to go through anxiety and fear, enormous fear, because they know it might be them next time. And what we have been doing is that sometimes our members, CAPS members, rescue a dog or a cat from these marketplaces. Unfortunately, any cat who is rescued from the market could die very, very easily. The survival rate of cats rescued from the marketplace, is, if you think it's 99%, then that's correct. Mm-hmm. They just can't cope with this stress afterwards. Even with the dogs, the survival rate is very low. We do not actually go into the market to rescue these animals ourselves. It's because we know that, you know, these animals will be replaced by other animals. Mm-hmm. And we are actually giving them money so that they will make profit and, you know, do even more business. So we don't encourage people to go into the market and buy these animals, but if that happens, then we will look after them and give them a sanctuary. What we have been doing is we also rescue animal abuse cases, and many animals we rescue from the animal abusers are dogs and cats that are raised as food.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have been raised as food, they think they can do anything to these animals.
How are they raised specifically? What are the conditions that they're raised in?
The dog farm conditions, it's like if you, you know, they will hardly clean the environment. The dogs are very, very fearful. They are scared. And they share a very small space with a lot of other animals. Sometimes in the countryside, they will raise a dog if they're not confined, but it's like they have no shelter. They are tied in the middle of a field without any shelter, without any company. And, you know, they are given food, but, you know, they're not in a clean bowl. You know, the food container is absolutely disgusting. They have to drink from the rainwater because the people forget to change the water. And with the cats, it's very rare actually to raise a cat for that purpose. The cats who are sacrificed in this horrible trade, most of them are actually either stolen pets or stray cats.
Mm.
And you know, wild cats, and people just go out and catch them and then use them in this horrible manner. A lot of stray dogs also end up in the marketplaces if they're not lucky, and if they're not, you know, rescued by decent people, not brought to the animal shelters, then they will end up in the marketplace.
Yin, we only have a couple more minutes left before we end the interview. I want to make sure that people know where they can find out more information about this issue and how they can support CAPS, which is the Korean Animal Protection Society, and specifically we're talking about the international arm through the UK, the International Aid for Korean Animals. Can you give us more information about where to go and look for these types of issues to learn more about them?
Yeah, we have a website, and the website address is www.koreananimals.org.
Okay, .org, great.
Or if you can't remember the address, you can just type Korean Animals in any search engine, then you should be able to find our website.
I know that CAPS is trying to raise more money for the care program or shelter that they're trying to run right now.
Yeah.
So maybe in just the last minute I can hand it over to you if you want to promote that initiative in particular too.
Yeah, we believe that it is really important to educate the Korean public and get the support from many more Koreans. And, you know, we can rescue animals day after day. But if we do, if we can't end the trade itself, and if we can't change the perception of animals, then the animal suffering will continue in large scale. And because of that, we really believe that we should carry on and expand our education programs, and CAPS will give us an opportunity to expand our education programs so that we could work towards the better future of Korean animals. So if international animal lovers could help us to achieve our dream, it will be a very important step forward for the better future of Korean animals.
It would be a very ambitious step.
Yeah.
Yes. I wanted to thank you so much, Yoon Kerr. Thank you for being on the program today on Animal Voices.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
I'm going to give people the website again. It's www.koreananimals.org. If you want to find out more information, you can look at some of the pictures from the dog and cat markets in South Korea. Learn more there by going to the website. And you can find out about the Korean Animal Protection Society and their care initiative, as well as the International Aid for Korean Animals. There's, of course, information there, too, if you would like to donate to these groups. Thank you so much, Yoon Kerr.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and good luck with your work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Goodbye. You've been listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM. We were just speaking with Yoon Kerr, who is the director of the International Aid for Korean Animals in UK. We're speaking about specifically the first animal sanctuary, CAPS, which is the Korean Animal Protection Society. They do a whole bunch of different things. They're a very interesting group, started by Koreans, run by Koreans in South Korea. So if you would like to find out more information, again, go to the website, koreananimals.org. You can also find out more information about them by going to our website, where all of our archived programs are located, as well as more information about Animal Voices by going to animalvoices.ca. If you want to contact us, have any questions or comments about the program, please do write us at our new email address, animalvoices@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Ken, for teching today. Appreciate it, and stay tuned for Roadrunner.